Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2 yards from Jones to Jennings for six.
Ooh, yeah.
Kevin Kugler on the call, Fox Sports. And no Purdy, no Kittle.
Screw that.
No problem for the San Francisco 49ers, who moved to 2-0, two massive road wins to start off this season. One in a 1 o'clock slate against your division rival. But this one, listen, we knew it wasn't going to be easy, even though I said it might have been a blowout, and we're not going to talk about that. But they won the game. That's all that matters. And for a team that we knew was going to fight through a lot of adversity heading into this one, first and foremost with a backup quarterback, Joe, as I say good morning to you, it's a hell of a win. Early start time, the Superdome gets loud, it's early in the season, you don't know much about other teams, and for them to win the way that they did, and Mac Jones, quite frankly, to look at the way he did... Relax. I know he had the fumble, and it wasn't a good play. I knew it wasn't going to be perfect.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't perfect, but it was a total team win. Kind of like what we were talking about last week. Another total team victory. Upton Stout getting his first career sack. Luke Farrell getting his first career touchdown. Every single person's fingerprints was on this win, Joe, and it was refreshing to watch.
Yeah, you know, I've got so many gripes with Shanahan over the years. When you coach for 9 years, you know, you're going to build up a lot of little intricacies that drive you crazy, even if you're great.
That's crazy. 9 years.
I know.
It's actually
insane. Like, Steve Kerr is an all-time legend in the sport of basketball. There's only so many coaches to win multiple, let alone 3-4 championships. So I look at someone like Belichick, who is one of the greatest coaches of all time. And yet he has little intricacies that I think drove Patriot fans insane. Doesn't mean that he wasn't great. It's just this is how you analytically criticize and critique someone who is of that ilk. I look at Shanahan and I've got so many gripes, so many, but you know what? Not yesterday. Yesterday is the kind of win that a great coach wins. And he is a great coach. And you can say he's not one of the best. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. Fine. That's fine. We can disagree on this. Great coaches win that game. Here's why great coaches win that game. Your franchise quarterback's out. Your Hall of Fame tight end is out. You got a left tackle who's a game time decision. In the middle of that game, you lost your fullback. And we know the fullback's important to this offense. In the middle of that game, you lost your left guard. And we know that left guard is extremely important. It's early in the season. You don't even know who you are. You're a team and a roster in transition. You're on the road. Now, you can say the Saints suck. And I'll buy that. They might end up sucking when the year's all said and done. But it's still an NFL team. You have a brand new kicker. You have a young defense in transition with a coordinator who was already a head coach. And you're facing someone who was on your staff last year in Brandon Staley, who has great feel for your personnel, your team philosophy, and your schemes. And you win that game with the backup quarterback. Great coaches do that. That's what Andy Reid would do. That's what Belichick would do. Yep. That's what Bill Walsh would do. Now, you're not in that elk yet. You haven't won a Super Bowl. I understand that. I'm not here to say he's a top five all time. That's not what I'm saying. The great coaches always win those types of games when all the laundry list of items that I just rattled off to you are going against you. And to do it passing with Mac Jones, I don't think Brandon Allen wins that game, who was your backup last year. Yep. You drop back 25 times in the first half. And I think part of that was you believe in Mac Jones. And I think the other part of that is you know Brandon Staley is going to be keyed in on trying to stop Christian McCaffrey. Let me continue on why that was such a great win for Shanahan. in the red zone. What do we complain about? What do we just lose our minds? It's not creative. It's not creative. The touchdown pass with the 2-minute drive before halftime. He rolls Christian McCaffrey into the slot and does an in and out pass. And that was similar to the pass Kaepernick in that same stadium couldn't complete over a decade ago with the Super Bowl on the line. And Mac Jones threw a feathery, perfect touch pass over the top with enough arm strength, leading Christian McCaffrey for a touchdown, which they desperately needed. Beautiful clock management by not just Mac Jones, but by Shanahan, by the team as a whole, and utilizing your position players perfectly. How many times have we said, boy, it'd be nice to use Christian McCaffrey in the passing game as a wide receiver? Third down. It's 3rd and 10. This is before the Jennings touchdown. You see Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, and he kind of motions out, but he still has the depth of as if he was a running back in the shotgun. And he runs a clear out and busts out to the sideline on like a comeback play. And Mac Jones threw an absolute perfect ball to him. How about throwing to a Ricky Pearsall, a young wide receiver?
He's a dog, man.
Young wide receiver over and over again on 3rd down and long.
I love Ricky.
Feathery touch passes. Look, we're going to talk a lot about Mac Jones. We're going to talk a lot about Robert Saleh and Ricky Pearsall and all the different players who made contributions in this game. That was a signature victory early in the season to go 2-0 with an NFC that's wide open. Kyle Shanahan, what a victory yesterday for him.
And you got to keep pace in a tough NFC West where the Rams, 2-0. Right? The Cardinals, 2-0. The Seahawks with a big win yesterday, bouncing back from week one loss to San Francisco. You got to keep pace within your own division. And isn't it funny how it works out? After 2 weeks and everyone's saying this might be the worst division in football, it's like, oh, I don't know. Last year, it only took 10 games to win. It's like, let's all take a step back. We all know what the worst division in football is. It is the NFC South. That being said, I actually gained a lot more respect for the Saints after this game in a weird way.
I did too.
Because I didn't think Spencer Rattler played bad or poor. I know he doesn't have a win as a starting quarterback, and we all want to make fun
of
him
scrappy.
For that. But he had some dimes yesterday. I thought he could have used his legs actually a little bit more. I'm shocked he didn't. Alvin Kamara is still that dude. And by the way, there's going to be a team out there that's going to be like trying to push for the playoffs. That's going to trade for him. And he could be the difference of making the playoffs or not.
I think he's got major juice.
I said something to you before the show that I actually thought was insane looking at Alvin Kamara's career. You know, he's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season ever. He's been in the league since 2017.
That's impossible.
Ever. Alvin Kamara has never rushed for 1,000 yards. It's insane. His closest was 950 in 2024. He did almost have 100 yesterday at 99. So if you have him in fantasy, you didn't get that extra bump. So you're a little upset. But he's still that dude. Now, the thing with Alvin Kamara is kind of similar to Christian McCaffrey is the workload. How much of that workload is going to, you know, deteriorate him as it goes forward? But that was the conversation we're having this time last week, Joe. Was that workload for Christian McCaffrey?
Did you see what they said on the broadcast?
What they said?
31 touches last week for McCaffrey was the most of any player in the league.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
Well, I thought Bijan for sure would have had more considering I saw yesterday. I didn't know that either.
Kind of like, whoa, I like went backwards. I liked the way CMC ran in this game. Though he didn't have robust, you know, yardage as a runner, I thought Christian McCaffrey looked way more explosive. The jump cuts, the power, the burst, the vision through the hole. There weren't a lot of running room areas. And I thought he did a really, really good job in this game. I mean, obviously he's a phenomenal wide receiver, pass catcher. But I thought his running, though the numbers don't like look eye-popping, rewatching the game back, I thought he looked great.
And again, back-to-back week, he's your reception leader. First week, it was Christian McCaffrey with the most receptions on the team. Second week,
yes,
6 receptions for Christian McCaffrey. I told everyone, I wasn't lying when I said, if this guy wanted to just be a slot receiver full-time, he'd be a pro bowler at that position. Hell, look at his brother, Luke McCaffrey, who's a baller last year for the Washington Commanders.
And let's get to Mac Jones. All right,
please.
So I think there's a lot to be said on Mac Jones. And there's so many elements to this game. I thought it was a fascinating game. If you're just a Niner fan, like just the optimism is oozing. Even though there are things to work on and there are little stuff that they're going to have to clean up, your optimism has to be oozing right now. Brock Purdy's the franchise quarterback. We all understand that. You just found out this morning, if you're just waking up, Joe Burrow's going to be out for 3 months with this toe injury.
And he's having surgery for it.
You know, Joe Burrow is a great player, but injury concerns are real. And clearly these toes, these feet, these are serious, serious injuries. With Mac playing as well as he did yesterday, it buys you time for Brock Purdy. We're not jumping the gun. We're not going to get into quarterback controversies. You paid the guy $50-something million. But the way Mac Jones played yesterday, the way Kyle called that game yesterday, the way the wide receivers responded, the throws he made on third down over and over and over again, his ability to stretch the ball down the field, to throw beyond the numbers over and over and over again, I thought Mac looked amazing. And I owe this guy an apology. You know, I was very critical of Mac Jones coming out. I didn't think he was worth trading three picks and moving up to go select. If you were going to take him, my theory was from the beginning, you stand pat if you wanted to take him. I didn't think anyone was going to jump you to go get him.
But you could understand just after this game why Kyle Shanahan would be enamored with him. You could see Joe. You could see it in that offense, it working. Now, no one's saying, as you said, it's a quarterback controversy.
No,
this is Brock's job.
I thought Brock was awesome. I mean, Brock's been awesome. But yesterday, Mac was great.
He was.
For a backup?
26 of 39, three touchdowns. He did have the lost fumble there. He held on for it for too long. But again, like, it was refreshing to see Kyle Shanahan have belief in his quarterback throwing the ball. Hell, the first three plays, it wasn't even to Christian McCaffrey running the ball. It was all three passes. Now, it was a three and out, but you quickly learned right there, if you're Mac Jones, okay, this guy trusts me with the ball in my hands going forward to throw the ball, to, you know, get it to Juwan Jennings. Hey, his guy Kendrick Bourne that he had a repertoire with out in New England, former Niner, had a couple catches there. It would matter. Ricky Pearsall, again, four receptions, 56 yards. Some big third down conversions with the arm, Joe, and Juwan Jennings. Welcome back, Juwan. Five receptions, 89 yards.
But the thing that I noticed from Mac Jones, look, I could see why everyone liked him. And you know, I've been really critical. I thought he was a turnover machine. I thought he was staring people down, I thought was a thing that he did a lot in New England. And look, the reality is their playmakers obviously deteriorated.
And coaching.
Well, that's the coaching
is extremely
awful, Joe. Important.
That's what I kept saying last week. Like, you move off of Josh McDaniels,
no
who
doubt.
I think we could all agree is a well-respected offensive
coordinator. Yeah, he's a great play caller.
Exactly. You move off of him after his rookie season where you do go to the playoffs, and he does look legit, like a rookie of the year kind of a candidate. He looked great. And then you go on, if you're Bill Belichick, and bring in a guy that has no offensive calling experience in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, like both of them, and that turns into a dumpster fire. They all get canned. You move on to be a backup in Jacksonville. Oh, Doug Peterson's bringing you in. He gets canned. He had no chance at succeeding after his rookie year. None. I even argued it last week, Joe, on Friday with Sam. I was like, you know, had they switched positions, Brock Purdy and Mac Jones, if like if you just were to switch their positions, yeah, I could see them having very similar career arcs because of, you know what, where you land matters in all of this.
He was born to play in this offense.
Yeah. I mean,
you could see it.
The proof is in the pudding right there. And I want to hear from the people today. 888-957-9570. It's a Victory Monday. It's all about you. There's no guests. You are the guests. 888-957-9570. You're 2-0 to start the season, Niner fans. And you won in week two with a backup quarterback. And now you're going home against a division rival, the Arizona Cardinals, next week. That place is going to be on fire. So, you're going to be at Levi's next week, Joe? You're going to be fired up.
Michelle's arguing with me. I really want to bring LJ to that game, even though it's going to be like 1,000 degrees.
I'll just lather them up in the zinc oxide, whatever.
They're wearing white tops with gold bottoms for the first time ever at home during a regular season
game. Good. Well,
No, it's not good.
They learned their lesson from last year, Joe, when they tried to pivot to the whites.
Wore the old
when it was 100 degrees against the Cardinals last year.
Look, today's not the day. But there is, you know, and I'm like an obsessive salary cap guy, team building guy. I love that, like, team building. We talk about, you know, why is the Jake Moody thing so frustrating? Because you spent a third rounder on him, right? Why was I so critical of Mitch Wisnowski? You spent a fourth rounder on a punter, for Christ's sake. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
You know? There is an element later on this week that I will explore. Today's not the day. But, like, Brock's really good, deserved a big pay raise. He's making $42 million in cash this year. Now, it's the way it hits the cap, and you can roll it over, and you can adjust things. Mac Jones is getting less than $4 million in cash. I didn't see $35-plus million cash discrepancy of play yesterday. That being said, their style of play is extremely different. You know, Brock is going to scramble more. Brock's going to make, you know, some busted plays. And you know, I don't know if Mac Jones throws a touchdown pass in the final minute against Seattle the way Brock did last week. I don't know. I think he would have been peppered, Mac Jones, in that game the week before. But if I'm asking like, Mac make it four, and I could spread around the other $30 million, like, I do think that it's something to ponder. Not this morning. I'm not saying they made the wrong decision or whatever, but it does make you think. And I thought Mac looked... He didn't just look good yesterday. I thought he looked great. Now, he held the ball a little long on multiple plays. One of them was the strip sack, and he's got to learn from that. I thought he looked a little frenetic early on, and he even admitted that he had some nervousness. And let's see how he plays week after week after week when people are game planning for you. It was a one-time thing. We'll see if he even starts this weekend. Brock might be healthy, and he gets the run, and he goes back out there. But... this is why you think about it long and hard when you pay someone $150 million.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
Trying to make a quarterback controversy. Right, Joe, I believe in my heart of hearts, Brock is a better quarterback, all things being considered, than Mac Jones. But I do also like take a step back and I go, is he $35 million better this year? I don't know. Like that's a different question. But for one game, Mac looked great. And that throw that he made to Juwan Jennings that everyone's going to talk about, if you didn't get glimpses of Brady standing in the pocket, waiting and anticipating that Jennings would hit that seam and he would throw that guy open into the very next window, I mean, that was a Brady-like throw. And he had a cannon. No, he stretched the field on a throw over the top, and it was like, I'd like to see him do that more, quite frankly. Yeah. And he threw some balls beyond the numbers multiple times. But to me, it was the feathery touch to Pierce on third down coming across the middle. It was the feathery touch to Christian McCaffrey on a couple of little quick hitters. He made some unbelievable throws. And again, I'm just going to say, like, Mac, I apologize. I was wrong. You could play in this league. I don't know where, but you could play in this league.
He's absolutely like a legitimate NFL quarterback. The question is going to be going forward, the consistency.
No doubt.
Do it again. There's a reason
why. That's all these guys.
Exactly. Well, for backups in particular, if you do it again, and let's say Brock is out the maximum 5 weeks, and you go 4-1 in that span, okay, you're probably going to have like a legit job next year as being a starter, or at least in the conversation.
So, did you watch the Dallas doc?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
that was the first one on there, brother.
Everybody's going to talk about Niners and like Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Steve got his first big break because Joe got hurt, right? And we all know the history of, you know, Jeff Garcia got his first big break because Steve Young got hurt.
Colin Kaepernick
and Alex Smith. Like, it goes on and on and on. And we know that Brock got his first big break because someone got hurt. You always need an opportunity. We're not there yet, but the reason I bring up the Dallas thing is sometimes it buys you time to get your quarterback, who you have invested a lot of money in, fully healthy. And we don't want to have a headline like we have this morning where Joe Burrow's out for 3 months because of a toe. Why rush Brock back? And if Mac can be sufficient and buy them time, I think it's the best of both worlds. Devoid of quarterback controversy. He looked good.
And we haven't even brought up like the guy that I think all Niner fans are feeling and thinking about right now. Robert Saleh. I mean, God, what a night and day difference with this defense and the young players coming of age right before ours. I saw Micah Williams make plays yesterday. I saw Upton Stout get a sack yesterday. By the way, Fred Warner, God, he's unbelievable. We'll get into it on the other side.
Saleh was brilliant yesterday, and this defense is a work in progress. I want to continue talking about it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.